Sport on RTE Radio 1.
And we're off to Cork again to join Darren.
Yes, we are. Good morning, Audrey. Good morning from the banks of the Lee as we begin the Olympic year by meeting some of our Olympians. So I'm going to be travelling around the country hearing about their stories, their hopes and their aspirations for Paris 2024 over the next few weeks. But this year also marks 100 years since we, as an independent nation, first competed on that stage. So Paris 1924, so much has happened in that time. And with all that in mind, I decided there's only one place to start this morning, and that is here in Cork, and we're going to meet someone who has competed in for 25 years of those 100. Isn't that some record? Five-time Olympian, Rob Heffernan, and he joins me now. Rob.
Good morning, Darren. How are you?
I'm very good. How does that sound when I say that out? 25 years competing at Olympics. How does that feel to you?
It's mad because I still remember the qualifying for my first Olympics and what that meant to me, and to go on and do what I did. It's kind of mind-blowing.
And what year was that? That was black and white television times?
I qualified for my first one in Sydney in 2000. So 3 years previous, I was meant to go on a running scholarship to America. And I went to the European Juniors race walking. And when I got there, I was like, it's hard to believe, but there's a bigger world outside of Cork. And it opened my eyes. And I said, I got hooked on it then. And I said, I think I could go to the Olympics if I put my head down. And so my first one was very special, like, yeah.
Don't say that too loudly down here. There's a bigger world than Cork.
Well, supposedly. I have to be a bit balanced here. I don't really think that, but, you know, possibly.
What did it mean to you to be an Olympian?
It was huge. Like I think we all grew up in Ireland, and I grew up playing football with Nemo Rangers, and your dream, we're indoctrinated to wanting to play intercounty football growing up. And it's only when you're introduced to other sports, you know, there's a lot of other sports out there, and there's a lot of other things that people can do. We're not all going to be footballers or hurlers. And going to an Olympic Games, for me and where I came from and coming from a working class family, it was mind blowing at the time. But again, it never stopped, because the first Olympics I went to, I always had that mentality that you're assessing the situation, you're assessing the landscape. And I was like, oh no, and it never ended. And that's why I went on so long, because it was just a continuous thing of wanting to get better all the time.
Mm. What was the high point?
Two high points. Like, Sydney was a huge high point because it was a massive pivotal time in my life, you know, transitioning from where I came from, like, being a plasterer's son who was meant to go down working in a building line and leave school after junior cert to go into my first Olympics. And then after that, things changed. Every Olympic cycle was very different, but to compete in London, basically in front of a home crowd, it was like, you know, taken back from the Brits that they provided an Olympic Games for us that we could go over without the responsibility of running it. And ultimately winning a medal, really, in front of Buckingham Palace. That was my big motivation. It was like, going, wouldn't it be great, an Irishman going over racing in front of Buckingham Palace and waving to the Queen with the Olympic medal around their neck with Irish flags everywhere. And obviously he didn't get it on the time, but the mall was amazing. Yeah.
So just maybe explain briefly what happened there. You finished fourth in the race.
I finished fourth in the race, and like, the time that I did that day would have winning every other Olympic Games. Or a medal. I don't know if it was a medal, but definitely medaled in all of them. I don't know if it would have winning every other Olympic Games, but the performance was brilliant. But the Russian on the day, who probably set a 10k PB for his last 10k of a 50k, so you don't need to be an honours maths student to work that out. It was like, going, okay, let's hope that the powers that be do their job. And I always felt that, you know, that it was a medal-winning performance, and it ended up being a medal-winning performance when, you know, the Russian was eventually banned.
Mm. What does that medal mean to you?
It was unreal, Darren, because, like, I led the Olympic Games in Beijing at 14k, and a bit of immaturity. Like, I went through Sydney, I was 28, went to Athens, where I was disqualified. I was sick the week before, and rightfully so, my technique wasn't good. Got more experience with the Beijing, and I was like, I'm going to win this. At 14k, I led the race and got a bit excited, and I ended up finishing 8th. And it was really, really tough to take at the time. So to go on to London and to perform like I did in London by creating all my own team, getting rid of a guy who won 4 Olympic Games who was coaching me, and to really deliver a performance there, I was massively disappointed initially, but massively proud that there's nothing else I could do. And that kind of propelled me on to the next year, to winning the World Championships, because I simplified everything. I was like, going, if I do everything that I need to do, and I'm very hungry and motivated, I went down and won the World Championships. So I don't think I'd win in the World Championships unless I suffered that disappointment.
Race walking, I think you'll admit, it's not the most glamorous of sports, but I actually went and watched your club, Cork City Athletic Club, last night, and the session you ran for them. It was brilliant to be there, real privilege. But to see so many kids race walking.
That's the thing. Like I grew up, as I say, I grew up playing football, and I grew up running, and I taekwondo. I thought I was great at all sports. So the way I introduced it to the kids last night, it was just another event, and some of them were brilliant, and they never did it before. And I think you have to introduce events, make it fun, make it competitive. Like, fun doesn't have to mean it doesn't be competitive. Kids are fierce competitive. So if you got kids climbing up ropes, like I did in Clash the Crease 3, how I got into it, and that's all I introduced last night, sure. Like with the hurdles, the walks, the jumps, make it fun and competitive and normalise that, and that's what we're doing with the club.
This year is a huge year for the athletes, many of them trying to qualify for Olympics, other athletes trying to get there and do well, pressure on to get to finals, to win medals. What's it like to be an Olympian this time of year?
It's brilliant, Darren. Do you know what? I was chatting. I'm doing a podcast with Laura O'Mahony at the moment, and we were chatting the other day at Red Raw, by the way. And I said,
subtle plug.
Subtle plug. I said, I've never felt fully myself since I've been an athlete, because you know 100% what your objectives are for the whole year. You know what the process is, and there's something very serene and calming about that. Like, the outside world doesn't matter, and if you do all your work, if you're an Olympic athlete, you know what your goal is, you've your year mapped out all the way up to Paris. Just enjoy it, and if you do your work and you're happy and you're calm and you have good people around you and you go and you do your best, and it's not, again, do your best isn't just turn up, you're preparing. Every single thing that you do in your life is getting ready to compare at them games, and then if you arrive there healthy, just give it a lash, give it your best shot, and we'll all be really proud of the athletes, you know.
Absolutely. Great talking to you this
Thanks,
morning.
Thanks, Darren.
Yeah, really good to catch up with you again. Rob Heflin then, there here in our Cork studio. Before I go, just some headlines. Jim McGuinness has been handed a proposed 8-week ban for fielding an underage player in the recent McKenna Cup win against Armagh. So Finbar Rorty played for Donegal last Wednesday. He was only 17, but he turned 18 the next day, and the GAA rules state a senior player must be 18 at the start of the calendar year. Manchester United beat Wigan 2-0, so they're through to the fourth round of the FA Cup, and the world of sport is lost a couple of legends. Franz Beckenbauer has died at the age of 78. He lifted the World Cup trophy as captain of West Germany in 1974 and then again as manager in 1990. And another legend, J.P.R. Williams, has also passed away. The former Wales and British and Irish Lions fullback was 74.